We continue with our studies, the way it's going like. We may not be able to finish this study, this section, but if we don't, we'll continue it next week. We have been looking at the three principles that we emphasize that we as believers should pay attention to when it comes to obedience. We have said that to obey means to follow everything completely that the Lord has told us. Exactly the way He has given it to us. We've also shown that, mentioned that it is important to form that habit of being obedient. And thirdly, that there is no substitute for obedience. Now we have illustrated the first and the third principles involved in obedience using Saul's war with the against the Amalekites. However, Saul also is a good demonstration of the violation of the second principle. His spiritual life was not normal because Saul never developed the habit of being obedient to God. See, for prior to the incident that we have just considered about him claiming that he has obeyed God completely, when indeed he brought back one Amalekite. Prior to that, Saul disobeyed God in a way by acting like a priest when he should not. Now his reason, of course, was that there was a panic in the military camp. So for that reason, he said he had no other choice but to offer sacrifice. Now that goes again to, here is a man who has never formed the habit to realize that you obey God no matter what it is. There is no substitute for it. But yes, he didn't realize that, and he just manifested it one more time where we started. But actually, the very first time he showed that was in 1 Samuel chapter 13. That's the first time that he showed that he did not, or that he has not developed the habit of being obedient to God's word. He showed that. I'm not going to read the whole of 1 Samuel 13, but let's just read quickly verses 8 through 14. He waited 7 days, the time said by Samuel, 7 days. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Now he's a king. He's not a prophet. He's not a priest. And no person in Israel except those in the Levitical priesthood, or those who are the Levites, should ever offer a sacrifice in this sense. But when a person has not learned the habit of obeying God, under panic, they'll do all kinds of things. So this is what happened here. Verse 10, just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw," this is his excuse now. Back to that excuse. "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come," it's your fault, Samuel. You didn't come when the day you said you were going to show up. I said at the set time. "And that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash," because they were in a camp ready to go to war. But they cannot go to this war until the prophet offers some sacrifice to God. "I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor." Now, you just think about what this man had just said. He has not sought the Lord's favor. The Lord said, only a priest can offer sacrifice. And yet this man is convinced that the way to seek the Lord's favor is to do what God authorized him to do. Now that is one of the reasons I'm emphasizing the importance of seeing how deceitful the devil can be. He can convince us. He can bring things that, you know, on the surface, they sound great to every ear that hears it, except those who constantly look at everything from the perspective of the Word of God and not human beings on how we view things. Well, so he said, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. Compelled by who? By his panic, by his fear, by his arrogance. There's nothing, you know, he will have said, okay, if he doesn't show up, God, you know about it. We don't offer this. If you want these Philistines to come to us, okay, that's what you're doing. This is the prophet. That's what you told him to do. But now, he had to go by his own way. So Samuel rebuked him. He said, "You, verse 13, you acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him a leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." So you see, we do not really have any intention of analyzing this passage at this time. However, it is important to note that Saul was impatient because Samuel did not show up at the exact time he was expected. Obedience to God's word demands that Saul should have waited, no matter what the situation happened to be. But because he had formed the habit of disobedience, he could no longer wait. Interestingly, if you notice, no sooner did he finish the sacrifice, Samuel arrived. Just to prove the point that this man has never developed the habit of being obedient. So the point is that Saul has formed the habit of disobedience. Hence, his spiritual life was never normal. That's the point we're trying to illustrate. If you don't develop the habit of being obedient to God's word, as I've said many times in the past, you don't have to understand it. But if God says it, all you have really, you know, what we have to struggle with is to be sure that we say what the word says. That's the only problem we have to deal with. But once we establish it, then there's no excuse any of us will have to say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. So the issue is either you don't believe the explanation, and if you don't believe, you better come up with a better one that you have from a sound analysis of the text under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But if that is what God says, then you and I do not have any excuse for not doing it exactly the way it says. But Saul didn't see that way, and he had to pay for it there. So with that brings us to another aspect of our study, which will be the effects of disobedience. The effects of disobedience. Now we have considered and illustrated three principles connected with obedience. So it will be beneficial in our study if we examine the effects of disobedience in life. For one way to understand something is not just merely to examine it from the positive perspective, but also from the negative perspective. Now, before we give some consequences of disobedience, let's just ponder or stop a little bit and ponder on the relationship of what we call accidents today. Just to think about it. How is that related to obedience? That's all what I mean by pausing for a little while. Now, is accidents, as we call it today, are they not generally the result of disobedience or disconnection from established order? Accidents, results of disobedience or disconnection from established orders. Take for example, automobile accidents are generally the result of someone not paying attention to the law, generally. See, many people see a sign that instructs them to reduce their speed while approaching a car, yet they ignore it. And in some cases, they lose control of their car and will say the person had an accident. In other cases, people ignore the traffic lights and heed those who obey it. So we say what? Accident. Someone has disobeyed a law that has been established by green and red lights. And so somebody looked at it, it's red. They didn't care. Just went through it. Because in some cases, either that person is high with drugs or alcohol, or high with absent-mindedness. And that's one of those things that you know, when you're on the road, you have to remember. There's a whole lot of people on that road that their mind is not on the steering wheel. Their mind is somewhere else. And so when you drive defensively, just remember that. Because there are some people who do all their thinking on the driving wheel, so to say, except that they're not concentrating in driving. And these are generally the people who hit you when you're in the ride. And that's what I'm talking about, this red light thing. I mean, people just ignore it. And their mind is somewhere. And, I remember it wasn't too long ago, I was with someone going to law. And we had stopped, and this lady just went through the red light. She didn't even realize she did. Why? I don't know, but I suspect her mind wasn't there. Now, if there had been a wreck there, or as we say, accident, would it have been any other reason? Except that person did not obey the law, or that there was a disconnect. My point, though, is that if we examine all possible causes of automobile mishaps, or what we say accidents, we will find that they are results of disobedience in one form or another. Someone may say, what about those who cut their fingers or get maimed at work? Again, if you examine these cases carefully, you will discover that the root cause is disobedience. Now, that may not sound good to people, but that's true. See, a person may be inattentive. I'm not saying, we all do that. We may be inattentive in doing what we're supposed to be doing. But now being, in this particular case, not being attentive to what one is doing, really is being disobedient to a law governing the person at work. I know it's just half of it to understand. If a person has been paid to work, the truth is that because he's paid to do that work, or whatever work it happened to be, he is required to focus and concentrate on the work before him. Now, somebody is cutting something, and somebody calls him, all of a sudden he got distracted. Cut a knife, or whatever it is, chops his finger off. Well, what is that? It's a disconnect, because someone has not paid or focused where he or she is supposed to focus. So, when a person ceases to concentrate in the work he's doing, he has in effect disobeyed his employer. Now, that may not be quite easy for most people to see, but that's the reality. Because once you're at work, you're supposed to concentrate and do what you have contracted to do by giving your best to whoever that employer is. But when man in disobedience begins to think of self and forget to concentrate, all kinds of thinking happen in the workplace. Well, we could go on with many illustrations, but I'll leave that to your own imagination to come out with an accident case, as we use that term, in which it can be demonstrated that it is not a result of disobedience. When you do, let me know. In any case, our primary concern here is to present some of the consequences of disobedience of God's word as given in the Bible. I just use what happens in workplace or car, automobile, and so on, just to get us warmed up. That's all I did. But now let's go to where our concern is, and that is from the word of God. Now, a first consequence of disobedience to God's word for believers is premature death. That's the first consequence. A first consequence of disobedience to God's word for believers is premature death. And not, as of course you all know that, but the Bible rarely talks about unbelievers. Really. Because everything about them is preserving the future. You and I, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, forever we will never come under judgment in the eternal state. That is done with. It's gone over. So, all discipline, all judgment will be inflicted on you and I on this planet. For the unbeliever, you know, God does a little here and then. He inflicts some to them. But a big time is coming. So it's not too much concern about them per se in that respect. So we are the ones that should be much more concerned, and that's why the Bible addresses these things for believers, not unbelievers. So premature death, while it might apply to unbeliever, God can do it. I have no reason to say he couldn't do it. But what we are dealing with is for believers. By premature death, we mean that God removes a person from this planet before the time that God had alerted to that person is up. He will be removed before that time is up. Now, this removal will also imply that the person will not completely fulfill God's desired plan for him or for her. The clearest example of this truth or this principle is Moses and Aaron. They give us the best illustration. Moses and Aaron. And we'll look at them in a little bit. Let's look first at Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 20. Let's begin at 23. We'll begin at verse 23. Now what we're doing, we're trying to illustrate here that one consequence of disobedience to God's word is premature death. Numbers 20, beginning of verse 23 says, at Mount Hor, near the border of Edom, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will not enter the land I give the Israelites. Look at the reason. Because both of you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. My friend, if you're a careless believer, I think this will scare you. It will get you really thinking. Moses was considered one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And yet this is what happened to him. And that tells you and I, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you are. Once we violate the principle, he will apply it to us. So, here Aaron is told, you're going to die. You're not going to, God wanted him to go to the promised land, and we will talk about it a little bit. But because of disobedience, God said, no, you're not getting in there. That's a premature death. What about Moses himself? Well, since you're still in Numbers, look at chapter 27. Numbers 27. Numbers 27, let's begin at verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Sin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Sin. Now, it is really not in this particular case, as one particular sin mentioned, but there was a trend that we noticed with Moses. And that is, he developed this attitude of getting angry. Because, you know, the people who he was leading were just very stubborn group of people. He would tell them what God says, they would see the miracle, they turn around, they ignite. And you know, he was really, he hurt Moses a whole lot. And he became a lot angry. So there was a pattern that he said, but in any case, it is one particular sin that God used or mentioned here. One particular one. Now, here's something that before we continue with more analysis, we should all remember this. It is one thing for me to tell you something or you to tell me something and cover up a track. But with God, no one can cover a track. Now, we're all human beings. We may be good at trying to cover our tracks. Now, with God. In other words, a person can give you an explanation. It's not this, it's not that. Well, that's okay. God knows exactly what it is. And that's one you should be concerned with. And that's what all we should be concerned with. God knew about this one particular sin. And there may be one particular sin that God may warn a believer. You never know. And he ignores it. And sooner or later, God will come down to him. Now, there is something that, as I see here, is a little bit intriguing in terms of Aaron and Moses. Premature death is not really, wouldn't be that hurtful in a sense. When you think about it, in the end, the person is in the presence of the Lord. And I think this is one thing that Moses, God was so gracious not to do with him, is the dying process. If the Lord said, okay, check out tomorrow and call my name, that's fine. There's no problem with that. But the thing that will be painful, really, is for him to leave you on this planet during that dying process and go through a pain that is indescribable. That's what everyone should be more concerned with. Because just if the Lord said, come on, that's no problem. But if he had to discipline you and take you through a process whereby that dying becomes very painful, my friend, that is the ultimate discipline for a believer on this planet. To die through this process in the most awesome pain that there is. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, believers won't die with pain. But God, if you're not in that state of premature, no matter what the pain is, you will get this peace that is beyond explanation. So whenever you don't see that peace, something is wrong. That believer probably is dying the ultimate. This premature has been intensified where the person has the greatest pain before they leave this planet. Now, so we say these things, we want people, they think, well, he's just saying it. I'm not just saying it. One of the things that I have to be very careful is, I believe this is the word of God. And that is why, most of you have talked about this in some cases, I will not knowingly twist this Bible for any person. Now, you may not like it, that's okay with me. But I will not knowingly not explain to you what is in there. And that is why, personally, I have to struggle a whole lot to be sure that when I explain this, that I'm giving you God's word. Because if it is God's word, we better not play with it. You can play with things other than God's word, that's okay. But if it is His word, we better not play with it. So when people begin to say, well, that's His opinion. Well, you better be careful whether that opinion you think is my opinion is not based on the word. And that is the only thing I do is, I don't want to see any member of this congregation have to go through a painful death. Don't want to see it. There's no fun in it. Now, I like to see people check out on this planet with glory, with honor,
that the Lord provides. And he does. And in this case of Moses, the Lord did provide it for him. Even though, yes, he was going through that ultimate. But because of the state of Moses, and because God also has a plan that cannot be violated, because of it, Moses and Aaron were removed. But they did not go through the painful part of dying. And that, my friend, is what you and I should be careful about. Dying, I mean, death in itself is, I mean, it's nothing. You just, it's like some of us, you just go to sleep, that's it. And you wake up in the presence of the Lord. But what we are concerned with is the period between when we leave this planet to be in the presence of the Lord. Those last dying days, that's what you should be concerned with. And if you're being removed prematurely, I can assure you that you will go through the greatest pain there is on this planet. Because that is the ultimate judgment or discipline that God will inflict on a believer. So, Moses was spared to an extent about this because of his spiritual life was in order. But there is just this one thing that God said, when you disobeyed me, I'm going to remove you. So his wasn't quite the same tone or the same magnitude that many believers on this planet will go through. Because they hear the word of God, it is more popular to believe what people say in general than to look at the word of God and say, this is what the word of God says. It makes me uncomfortable. It doesn't make me popular, but I'm going to live by it. And when we follow that, then we'll have no problem. Now, in case of Moses, certainly, it was God's desire plan for Moses to lead the Israelites to the promised land. Now, this is clear from the command issued to him in Exodus 33, verses 1 through 3. Exodus 33, verses 1 through 3. All we're trying to do is to show that Moses died prematurely. And so did Aaron. So all we want to show here and develop something so we can see the God we serve is a God that is never inconsistent. And that's what I'm seeking to prove here. Exodus 33, from 1 to 3 says, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. If you notice, God says, you go up with them to that land. That's his desire. But verse 21 says, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because, now speaking to the whole people, because you are a stiff-necked people. Well, I don't know which one, you'll probably tell me better. Which one is more stubborn? A mule or a donkey? Now, this is what God is saying. These people, very stubborn. And it's very easy for any of us to be stubborn. All it means to be stubborn is God tells you what to do. You say, no, I'm not going to do it. Immediately, we become stubborn. So this is why he says, you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. Now, the fact that Moses did not lead the people into the promised land indicates that God removed him prematurely. Because that was instruction. He's supposed to take them out there, but he did not. Of course, though, when they put all this into perspective, the omniscient God knew ahead of time that Moses would not lead the people into the promised land. But this whole record is given to us as so that we could learn the truth that God at some time will remove certain believers prematurely from this life due to disobedience. Now, I said that God knew ahead of time because he was careful in the initial instruction given to Moses concerning his function as the leader of Israel.
And I'm referring to Exodus 3 verse 10. Now these are things that we have to go through to establish truth once we explain it. So don't get discouraged that we're flipping forth and back, but this is important. Exodus chapter 3 verse 10. Now in Exodus chapter 3, we have shown that God said to him, "You're going to take those people." But my argument is, even though when God told him that, God already knew that Moses is going to sin against him in a way that brought him onto a premature death. He knew that ahead of time. And that is why, if you notice the instruction, the original instruction is a little bit different. Exodus 3:10 says, "So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." That's it. Notice there is a difference there. He didn't tell him at that point that he's going to lead them into. And so the way he told them that, to show him that is what would have happened if you did not disobey me. So that's the whole point of what we're demonstrating here. It's not that God didn't know that Moses would not eventually be there, because from eternity past, his plan has called that he wouldn't be there. But on the way, there will be things that he will do so that you and I will be warned. Remember, I've said many times that although Christians do not study the Old Testament many times, they don't realize that the Old Testament is designed to teach us patterns, to show us how God is with individuals or nations. So by giving us this example with Moses, then you and I will be warned that there is such a thing as premature death for the believer. Now the Lord has again did not say at this point that Moses will lead them to the promised land, but just to lead them out of Egypt. Now this Moses accomplished, no doubt, as God's definitive plan, in contrast to desired plan of God. So in this particular case, the Lord indicates that Moses is to take the people to the promised land to show that this would have been his role if Moses had not committed this particular sin. But again, God knew that his plan would not be such that Moses will actually enter the promised land. Nevertheless, again, the whole record of God's desire for Moses to lead the Israelites to the promised land that never materialized is simply to teach us the consequences that we are not considering. That is, that there is such a thing as a premature death of a believer as a result of disobedience to God's word. We should emphasize that God uses any tool to remove a person from this planet as a part of this discipline of premature death. It all depends on many things. We never can. God only knows. He may remove a person prematurely with no pain, just like Moses. And depending on what the level is, or depending on what it is, he only knows. He makes that decision. And some people will commit certain sin or be in a certain state, and he will have to go through, send them to some suffering, or as we say, some pain, maximum on this planet. But my point is that God could remove people in that way through what we call automobile accidents or other forms of what we call accidents. Now, I say this because one way that God disciplined individuals that he removed prematurely in the Bible time as a result of disobedience was by the use of wild animals. That's one method he used. Now, a good example of this is the man who refused to obey the word of God through a prophet that is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 35 and 36. First Kings, chapter 20, 35 to 36. As we read some of this, it's one of the things that we also have to remember is, you know, a lot of time, God may not do some of these things directly as we would expect it. He may do them slowly, sometime. He can do them instantly. But whatever way He decides, He is the sovereign God. None of us can question Him. We may not understand it. You know, our husbands, our wives, and children and friends may fool us, but they can fool God. We all have to remember that. Well, this is a case of an instant premature removal or premature death for an individual. Verse 35 says, "By the word of the Lord, one of the sons of the prophet said to his companion, 'Strike me with your weapon.'" That's a command from God. It's a reason he needs to strike so that he can use it for teaching. But look at what is, but the man refused. So who did he refuse? Did he disobey the prophet? No. The prophet is the speaker, the spokesperson for God, the mouth by which God spoke. And so when he refused, verse 36 says, "So the prophet said, 'Because you have not obeyed the Lord.'" Now you notice here, he didn't tell him directly and say, "The Lord told you to do this." He just said, "You do it," because he knows that this man was functioning as God's spokesperson. And so there will be no reason when he said that not to do it. So that's what 36 says. So the prophet said, "Because you have not obeyed the Lord, as soon as you leave me, a lion will kill you." And after the man went away, a lion found him and killed him. Now, a lion killed this man. Today, our lions could be automobiles, airplanes, or firearms. That could be our own lions. Now, let us be clear, though, be very, very clear to what I'm explaining here. It does not mean that if a person dies by any of these means or this method, that that person is being removed prematurely. It doesn't mean that. It is only if disobedience is involved that such death could be considered premature. If there's a disobedience. And again, the whole story goes back to the state of the individual. If it's a person that has turned his or her back to the word of God or to God himself as a believer, now we're not talking about unbelievers, then there is no other conclusion that if it's something that happens suddenly, prematurely, as we would expect, then it could be that such an individual is being removed prematurely as the ultimate discipline that God will inflict on the believer. Sometimes we use such terms as sin unto death. But that's part of it. That there is a time when God will have to remove believers out of this planet for being disobedient. What am I saying? All I'm saying, we have just got, didn't get to where we need to, but all I'm saying is very simple. We do not have the luxury of being disobedient to God's word. That's all I'm saying. None of us has that luxury. Now, if you don't believe it, try it. Well, I wouldn't say it that way though, but because I don't want to see anyone in pain. So my advice would be, don't try it. But the truth to all I'm really trying to emphasize is, God is faithful to His word. If we choose to live in disobedience to His word, we should prepare for discipline, for misery. But if we choose to be obedient, as we will see next week, we will see tremendous blessings that He will pour to you as a believer. Let's pray. As we end our study this morning, there may be someone here who has not personally believed in Christ as his or her Savior. We want you to know that Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the ultimate sacrifice on your behalf. He took every sin that you've committed, will even conceive of in the future. All this he already died for. So the only issue left is what you think about him who hung on that cross. He is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. So all the Bible demands you to only exercise your faith, to trust that he died on that cross for you. And that once you believe that, you have eternal life. That's why the Bible says this to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. As many as receive him, to them has he given the right to become the sons of God, even those who trust in his name. Trust in his name, you have life. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We just pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will impress upon our souls, believers, the importance of life of obedience, so that we can enjoy the many blessings that you have in store for us. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.